city lights looking fine, and I know this is my time now. I'm gonna be myself, or I could be someone else. No one's stopping me now. I'm gonna skip my breaks, I'm gonna make mistakes. I just wanna feel alive. It's just what I do when I'm out, so try not to hold me down. Feel alive when I'm in this town.
Hey, this is Champaign, Illinois native Emily Harrington coming to you from Kitchen Table Studios in the ever-evolving, sometimes boring, flatlands of Champaign-Urbana for the next podcast episode of Hyperlocals, where townies and transplants share their tales of tears and triumphs, losses and wins. So stay tuned to catch the characters behind the beloved Twin Cities of CU. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the next episode of the Hyper Locals podcast. It is not every day that I have someone who is seemingly younger than myself, a young buck, and I was shocked to find out she's not as young as I thought she was, because she looks like a fresh-faced teen or early 20s. And when she said she graduated in high school in 2010 from Central, and I had to like literally do the math in my hands, because she's 31, and I just can't believe how young you look. And you have a young energy.
I know. This is just a baby face.
Oh my gosh, this is such a blessing. This is Rachel Lindemann, born and raised Champaignian. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay. Then you, by way of L.A., for a little bit, back home, but plans to return to L.A.
Yes.
And we'll kind of get to that.
Yes.
So you said when we were kind of pre-interviewing and talking about the early days, you were a big Art in Motion dance competitor.
Oh, yeah. Shout out Art in Motion, everybody. That is home number two. That was like dance was and kind of still is life. Yeah. I mean, we worked our asses off. I mean, we were at the studio for like 30 hours a week.
Well, it's interesting because the stage of life I'm at with kids in the 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th years, they're starting their Art in Motion journeys. The girls are.
Oh, they are?
So I can see it on Instagram. Yes. The girls' hair, makeup, oh, yeah, outfits.
Yeah.
Down to the jewelry,
yeah,
they have to wear.
Yeah.
Especially if they're in competition.
Oh, yeah. It was full on.
When did you start?
I started dancing. I think my mom threw me in at like 3.
Wow.
And was just like, we got somebody else needs to take the mantras kid.
Get her energy out,
yeah,
for us.
Yeah, she's got to, you know, I had spent, you know, it's just like me looking at myself in the mirror. And she's just like, we need to put this somewhere. So I started really little. I think I moved over to Art in Motion when I was maybe, I don't know, like 5th, 6th grade. And that's okay. When things got serious.
Really?
You know.
Just, and you had a talent for
it. I had energy.
Yeah. Charisma. Yeah. Rhythm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that showed more. You know, I come from like a very athletic family. So yeah. I think I just had that like practice mentality of like, if I keep doing something, I'll get better.
That work ethic.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's really what pushed me to succeed in dance. And I think they'll say that too at Art in Motion. They're like, yeah, I wasn't the most talented one, but I worked my butt off.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I worked myself to get to like the highest
level you can.
Yeah. And then we ended up, it was like a group of 6 of us, and we like won nationals, and it was, wow, it was the best.
You kind of have like a ballerina statuesque build.
Yeah.
But your type of dance was what?
So we did everything. I mean, we had to take ballet. That was like the cream of the crop. You had to get the skill set in. I was not good at ballet. I just didn't have the like serious. Looking back, I should have been more. But I was like putting my leotard up my butt and trying to like, I just was just not present for it. It was too slow. I was a hip hop jazz dancer. I just wanted to like,
yeah.
I was, musical theater was my thing. But yeah, we had to do everything. So tap, jazz, lyrical. We did it all.
Okay, and were you also doing sports? I know we've talked about your dad's extremely athletic. He is the co-owner, mm-hmm, of Body and Soul.
He's now the owner.
Oh, he's now the owner.
Yeah.
Basketball coach.
Mm-hmm.
Illinois Marathon was his baby.
Yep.
And he still, in some capacity, is
consulting on that
yeah.
project.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we know that you come from an athletic family. Were they also encouraging you to pursue sports?
Oh yeah. I played every sport growing up. Gosh. That was like, it was kind of the same story. It was like, here I was playing baseball, but I was like doing pirouettes in the outfield.
And picking
it was
daisies.
Like, yeah.
Bouncing around.
Yeah. And I would play basketball, and I liked basketball, and I was good at basketball-ish, you know, like just, I don't know. And I just remember my dad sitting me down in like eighth grade, and it was kind of like, he just was like, okay, Rachel, you're going to have to pick between basketball and dance. And we both knew the answer. So it was like a joke, but
oh, wow.
It was like, obviously I'm going to dance. This is not, and I could not compete with my sister. It was like,
and she was a star.
She was a star.
Okay. And her name is
Allie Lindman.
Okay. And how old was she in comparison to you?
She's 5 years older.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Central. And you said she's just shattering records.
Oh, yeah. She broke every high school record, men's and women's, played Division One. I mean, you should have seen this town. It was like, I mean, the News Gazette and the, what is it, WCIA, uh-huh. they would go crazy over the father-daughter duo of a Central basketball. I mean, it was the cameras were there. And I just remember.
Was he coaching her?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, he was coaching her, and they would film them. And then I remember we'd sit in the living room and like, okay, we're going to watch the highlights. And I would be like, okay, just you wait. And every game that I could attend, I was doing like some sort of like twerking or like cartwheels or something in the background, because I'm like, no way are these two shy bugs
yeah.
gonna get the camera, and I'm not
right this is,
and my mom loved it every time. She was just, I had to like find a way to get on there.
You were like the Easter egg yeah. in their performances.
I was like, yeah, this is.
Was it hard growing up in that shadow, or you just knew that you weren't even in that realm, so it didn't matter?
I mean, I loved it, because it was like, I was little, and it was like everybody yeah. called me like Little Lindemann. And it's fun to have like a coach father, because you get to like go to the games and you feel like you're like, I'm like,
special.
Yeah. You're like, I can sit in the bleachers on this side or whatever. You know, it's like this. Yeah, it felt good. But I didn't really. It wasn't a shadow, because we were on complete different paths.
OK. Did you play high school basketball?
No, I didn't have time.
Did you perform in the plays, musicals?
I didn't have time.
Because of dance.
Wow.
Yeah. So you were going around the country or the state competing?
Both. So state, and wow. then like nationals would be like, we'd go to like Myrtle Beach or
Florida.
Or Branson, Missouri. Or it would kind of change some years. And
did your dad take your one sister and then your mom kind of take you?
No, my mom took my oldest sister. I was feral. I was raised by the man on the moon. No, I was really like, yeah, I really had my own back a lot. I mean, not, yeah, you know, my parents did a great job. They did the best they could, but
sure.
I really was a leftovers, hand-me-downs.
Okay, got it.
Kind of kid.
And you're the one of three girls.
Yeah.
Okay, and tell me about your other sister. Now, she's the middle.
Allie's the middle,
the basketball star.
Yep.
You're the baby.
I'm the baby.
And there's another older sister. And yep. her name is?
Laura Ann.
That's cute.
Yeah.
Okay. So they also had to watch over her.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. And so you are kind of navigating your own path a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you balk about that? Or did you make that known?
Oh, I'm pretty sure I did. I mean, I came into this world like wanting to be doted on. And when I wasn't, it was like, you guys need to step it up, you know. Yeah. I'm gonna like stand on a table, you know, and do a show. Like, I was just really, I mean, that's where it came from.
Yeah.
That's where it all started, was like, I felt like survival to
someone
get
look
some
at me, watch
spotlight
me.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, can everybody get on the couch? I've made a dance to Christina Aguilera.
Oh my god, that is just so good. Okay, so you end up graduating from Central, and you graduate from Art in Motion, so
yeah.
to speak.
Yeah.
And you decide to go to Arizona for school.
Mm-hmm.
Why Arizona?
I went to the University of Arizona. What first I was going kind of like with looking at dance was because they have a great dance school. I didn't get in with the not being serious in ballet didn't help. But that's okay. I still went. When I went and visited, I had two friends that were from here too, Bridget and Bailey Krause, shout out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, those are my girls.
Strong dancers.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. We were in the same group, same growing up, neighbors. Okay. Those were my, yeah, best friends. Still to this day.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so I just kind of decided, like, you know what? I'll study nutrition and I'll get a degree here and use my science brain. And there was palm trees and I was sold and it was far. And that was kind of it. I just kind of like made the decision.
Okay. So you said this path, from just knowing you in this brief time, I literally ran into you at Body and Soul. I saw this pamphlet. Your dad started talking to me about it. And I was like, oh, I've got to meet her and I want her on the pod.
Yeah.
So we have not known each other that long.
Yeah.
But what I have known from you, you're not a sit down, books, nutrition, dietetics type person.
Mm-mm.
Why did you choose to major in what you did? And did you see your life going in that direction?
I think it was really like, I like food. Okay. Like, I think it was like, it came down to that. I was like, I like that. I really like to eat. And I think it also, I liked food and I really liked science.
Okay.
I was a big science freak and it came with a major in chemistry. Mm. I really liked chemistry and biology. Like, I liked the breakdown of the body. Like, I was a big anatomy girl. Still love that stuff. Love that shit. But
And your dad is too, it sounds like.
No. He's, no? No. He eats like peanut butter M&Ms for breakfast.
But I brought in my husband's running shoes. My husband's knee was hurting. Your dad looked at the shoes and could tell me exactly what was wrong in his body.
Yeah.
By the gait and the way he had worn his shoe.
Yeah, that's a perfect advertisement for Body and Soul Sports, everybody. So please visit.
I was like, my mind was blown.
Yeah, no, he's incredibly talented. And I think body awareness. Yeah, we both definitely. Yes. But he, when it comes down to like me, I'm more interested in like, what are we doing to fuel ourselves for the run?
Okay.
You know,
okay.
That kind of stuff. Like, okay. I like long-term habits,
mm-hmm.
and those kind of things. And I think that's what steered me away from going into nutrition too, was like, okay, here's your option. We're going to have to post you up into a hospital and you're going to have to sit and tell these people who have just had a heart attack, mm-hmm. that they can't have a cheeseburger anymore. And I'm like, they're going to
crush
me.
They're going
to
hate me.
I can't do that. I don't want to do that. And I'm like, I don't know that cheeseburger could mean the world. Like, it's just, food is so
emotionally tied.
It's the most difficult relationship I think most of us
100%.
Have. 100%. You know? And I just was like, I don't think this is, I would rather make people laugh and
yes.
like entertain. And maybe I'll just like selfishly use this information and give it to people if they want it. But it's yes. just that kind of thing.
But you seem to load your toolbox.
Yeah.
Full.
Yeah.
Of things and use them in different ways to help people at different times.
Yeah.
So it certainly can't hurt that you have a degree in this.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
You said to me in the pre-interview, you think you wanted to show people you are smart.
Oh, yeah.
What does that mean? What do you mean by that?
This
goofball has to prove herself.
Yeah. And I think, like, we didn't mention, but my oldest sister has Down syndrome, and I think, like, looking back too, that might be a chip on my shoulder of just like of an unconscious chip of like needing to prove that I was smart in some capacity. Mm. I don't know if that's the truth. I just think maybe that could be a narrative. And I was a dancer. I was like a dancer. I knew I was cute, but mm-hmm. I was just like, I need you to see that I can in physics. Yeah. You know, like, I just had this...
I'm the full package.
Yeah. Like, I just didn't want to just be seen as this cute little dancer with a nice little butt.
It's Ooh, I hear that. I hear that. Okay. So you get your degree, right? We're armed with some more tools in our box, and you're going to graduate. And the first job you take, this is like blew my mind, in the realm of your degree was at a quote unquote fat camp.
Yeah.
What does that look like? Because, okay, this time in our society, like, Paris Hilton has just come up with this whole narrative and this whole unsilence me type act where she was taken from her home for behavioral camps.
Right.
Hell Camp just came out on Netflix mm-hmm. that I was like obsessed with, where parents think they're sending their kids to a behavioral adjustment camp And it turns out to be this terrible, nasty experience for a lot of them.
Yeah.
What was fat camp? I hate to say that.
Yeah. Weight loss camp, I think maybe is the better
term.
Maybe the better term. That's probably how they marketed it. It was not similar in the sense where it was definitely not. These kids were being treated very well. It was
you said bougie woozy.
It was bougie woozy. Okay. Yeah. This camp, I think at the time, I think it cost somewhere around like $60,000 for the summer. So it was like college tuition. These kids were rolling up in Porsches and Lamborghinis and getting dropped off.
Some not needing to lose weight necessarily.
Some not needing. Some because they were regulars and they had like found joy in the camp and they like just wanted to come back, you know? And like I think like liked the regimen. And I got the girls that were like 12 and 13 and
that is so sad.
Loved them so much and they loved me and I knew it and I just knew that I had like, I really, that was the part that I loved. I couldn't get down with the diet behind it. It was, like they said, it was a fat, and I just don't think that's true.
Okay. So explain a fat. That, rhetoric. What does that mean?
Yeah, just so literally, like no avocados, no nuts, no, like zero fat and everything. Like just like, and they were told to, if they went to a restaurant, that they, if like something was being cooked in oil, to not cook it in oil. And like all these crazy things that I'm like, I feel like that's harder to live a life. Like I said, I'm somebody who like, I love sustainability. Yeah. I love things that you're going to be able to do for the long haul. And that to me, I'm like, I don't know if that's sustainable. I don't know if like you're comfortable going to a restaurant and telling, who doesn't cook with oil? Like, it's just like, how do you, you know what I mean? How do you not? They're going to be like, here's your dry ass vegetable. Like,
just
what?
Just stay home.
Yeah. It's just not. And like to be with friends, like I'm like, you're going to miss out on the social parts of. Like,
there was some joy taken out of food. Yeah.
And
for sure.
It worked for some of them, of course, because it was completely different from what they were doing for the majority of their life. But
as soon as you got home.
Yeah, I just was like, I'm not for this. This is not great.
And you lasted an entire summer
I lasted an entire summer. I remember we had like one day off and I would just go straight and get like a triple ice cream and like sit my ass in a movie theater and just like get buttered popcorn because I had to eat the diet too. So I was.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Okay, so after that summer, you decided that this wasn't going to work for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And where do we go from that summer?
From that summer, I remember a friend, my mom's best friend, sent me an email that was like, you should check out Second City in Chicago.
Okay.
And I just kind of like broke it down and was like, yeah, I think this is what I need to.
She thought that would be for you simply because she knew your personality.
Yeah, everyone did. They all, and that was the thing. Every time that I had ever like brought something to the table, it's been like, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay.
Go try that out.
And so you moved to Chicago.
Yeah. Well, I was going back and forth from Champaign to Chicago. Like I was like sleeping on like a friend's couch.
Okay. Yeah.
And like making it work.
What do your parents say when you say, mom and dad, I just can't go down this strict nutrition path for my life. I think I'm going to try comedy.
You're funny because it's almost like it's like I never asked permission. It was more like, hey, I'm going to go do this.
And they did they look at you cross-eyed?
I don't think I even looked at them long enough me to register. I didn't care. I mean, this is what happens when you're the youngest. And like, you know what I mean? I was like, I'm going to go do this.
Having the confidence in your decision-making to not care what your parents think is a real blessing. Because I would have stressed over that decision.
Yeah.
And telling them.
Yeah. It didn't feel... I'm pretty convincing. I'm very strong headed and I'm very stubborn. So when it comes to something that's like, I have an idea and I'm going to push through it. I think they just kind of knew that she's going to go. So you might as well get behind her.
And I think you're confident in your ability.
Yeah, that for sure. Yeah. Even if I'm not really, I'll make it look like I am.
Well, I think, yeah. And I think that's going to be a huge part of your ultimate success. So they really have a non-reaction.
Yeah. Well, they were for it. They were definitely for it. We'd gone to Second City. We'd gone to shows before. That was like something we'd done as a family. Okay. Like it's a very, obviously Second City is huge. Everyone knows and loves and has heard of it if you're a comedy fan. And so of course they were like, yeah, go right ahead. And so I signed up for acting and improv and went through that whole, it takes about a year to get through the whole program.
Were you living in Chicago while you were doing this?
Yeah, but I was kind of going back and forth because I would like work at the store and I would like
just to make supplement money.
Yeah.
Did Allie, did you get her reaction, your sister's reaction?
She was not living, she was coaching at a Division I school in New York at that time. So my sister and I, that's my best friend. Mm-hmm. I mean, we are so close now, but we really weren't that close. We were. We've always been like close, but not communicative
close.
Until maybe 5-6 years ago.
Okay.
Because we were just, we're such on different paths.
Yeah. So she was busy doing her thing.
Yeah.
You're busy making all these changes to your life.
Yeah.
So what did you think when you got a taste with Second City?
Oh, I mean, that's what they call it. They say you get bit by the comedy bug.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just, you get infected.
Really?
Yeah. It's like a cult. It changes your life. It completely changes your life. If I was president or queen of the world, I would make everybody take an improv class.
Wow.
Because you learn listening. You learn all walks of life. You have to let go of everything.
Yeah.
You don't have any preparation.
Yeah.
Which is like so fun and freeing. You don't have to like come to, you can't come to class prepared.
What about feeling self-conscious or I'm being silly so I feel weird?
You have to let it go. Or you have to use it.
Yeah.
That's what I would do. If I was like nervous and you just like, you use those emotions or you like vocalize it.
Right.
That's always what freed it for me. It was like, if I speak on like that, my heart rate is racing. Right. It makes it feel a little bit better.
Yeah.
And somebody else can now have that information and they can play with it.
Right. The whole concept is yes anding.
Yeah.
So, and that can help in podcasting too. You say the sky is blue. I'm going to say, well, it's actually not, you know, it's like blah, blah, blah. But feeding off each other. So there's a continuous feed of conversation.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I talked to my husband a lot about this and I don't know if I've mentioned this, but he's an attorney. He went to school. He followed the certain path. He's a rule follower. And then one day he tells me that his ultimate like dream was to be a comedian.
Oh my gosh.
And so he tells me this when our son is two and he's in the middle of like, kind of like a midlife crisis.
Yeah.
And he tells me this and he's like, I think I want to pursue this. And I was like, Andrew, like we have a little bit. And you want to spend your days like in, you know, like smoky clubs or whatever across the country trying to make it. And I mean, I kind of talked him back to earth, but like, I was like, well, go to a open mic.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to start somewhere.
Yes. Yes.
You can't just be Theo Von or Anderson, you know, you have to kind of work your way up. And so we never got to the open mic, but someday I'm hoping he'll at least try it.
Oh my gosh. Tell him to come with me. We'll get him a spot.
But he's only funny when he's not trying to be funny. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And that's why you have to do it. That's why I get so many people who are like, I feel like I could do it. I'm like, then go do it. Let's go do it. You have to put yourself in the position just to even know that like,
it's not for you or it is for you.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. Totally.
Okay. So you get this bug and do you know that you're in the right place where you're supposed to be?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like this.
That's it.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like people talk about flow states. You just, time doesn't exist. You're with the other people who are just as weird as you. At Second City, people are doing it for whatever reason they want to, whether it's just to like, they need to burn 3 hours after work. And some people want to do it as a career. And some people just want to get better at public speaking. Some people just want to make friends. And so you get all walks of life. I mean, I had every age group. I had a Russian man who was like 80 years old.
No way.
You know, and that makes it so much more fun and better. You get these crazy scenes that you wouldn't have had because you're just like, what is in your brain?
Yeah. Okay. So do you graduate from Second City?
Yeah.
Okay. And what happens? You continue on in that course or you switch?
Yeah. So I graduated in quotes from Second City. And at that point, I was like, at a crossroads of either auditioning for the conservatory, which is like a grad school of Second City, or moving to Australia and doing improv comedy there. And I chose Australia.
Are you paying for Second City yourself?
Yeah.
How much does that cost?
Now I don't know. Per class, I want to say like in the 200-300s.
Okay. 200-300.
Not cheap.
Not cheap. Okay.
Not cheap is like where like I think it should be more accessible.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Okay.
Personally.
Not cheap, but not as expensive as going to college.
Right. Okay. Exactly. Okay. Oh, yeah. Not a college tuition. No.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay, Australia.
Yeah.
So now, are you self-funding this trip?
Yeah. Well, I just moved. I just went.
Oh,
like,
my God.
That was the thing, too, is I applied for a work visa, and then I think I gave myself a month, and I was like, oh, mom, dad, by the way, I'm going to go to Australia.
Once again, not registering their reaction.
No, it's not just, really giving really room for it.
Yeah, just taking off.
Yeah, and I mean, at that time, too, I was like 23, so I just was like naive, which benefited me. I don't know. I want to say that I would be able to do that today, but
yeah,
I was like, I didn't have any fear. Yeah, zero fear.
That's just such a beautiful thing.
Just went.
What do you think of Australia?
It was incredible.
Really?
It's amazing. I mean, they're a little bit behind, like from us. Like, it felt like kind of being in the 90s. Like a little, just a little bit. I don't know. They love Americans though. So it was fun to be the like foreign one. Yeah.
Any boys? Okay, are you meeting any Australian boys?
Yeah, I'm still like such good friends with
really with
Aussie boys that I've met in a park, and they weren't like American boys.
Yeah, friendly
without needing anything. Oh, like you could have a conversation and not feel like you had to.
They're hitting on you, or
or like anything else was gonna go down. It was like that was just it. That was like a fun little conversation in the park.
And what did you do there?
I did improv comedy at the Improv Conspiracy, it was called.
Okay.
And then I bartended.
Oh my God.
Which was a shit show. One, I couldn't understand what anybody was saying. Two, they just hired me. And then
no experience.
Mm-mm, no.
You don't know what goes in on the beach or whatever.
No. You know, I remember like getting the first, like them handing me a bill, and I was like, oh shit, this is Monopoly money. I don't know what this is.
Oh, you had to make change?
Yeah, well, that's a completely different currency. And I was like, oh my God, I didn't even think about it. Like, just stuff like that. Like I said, I'm really good at like seeming confident.
Yes.
And I can like pull it off. So I'll just like give the wrong change. You know what I mean? I don't know how many things. Like, it was fun. I mean, it was, I remember bartending. We were across a stadium from I don't know if you watch boxing. I don't, but Holly Holmes and Ronda Rousey.
Yeah.
It was they like had a match in Australia, and we were right across the street, and Holly Holmes won and came to the bar afterwards and like poured a beer, and her whole family, like they were American, so they were like connected with me.
Yes.
And they, at the time, like the Hunger Games was true, and so they didn't know my name, but they would call me Katniss Everdeen.
Oh, you are like, kind of Katniss-y.
And I was more back then too, but that was like such a vivid memory.
Where did you live at that time?
I lived in Melbourne. So I lived on King Street across from Witches and Britches, which was a like theater dinner place and like Flagstaff Gardens, and then like a block from Victoria Market. So it was awesome.
Who did you live with?
I lived with a girlfriend.
Just a friend?
Yeah.
Okay. And are she also trying to do comedy?
No.
You met her there?
No, I met her at Arizona.
So you went with a friend?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't know them that well, but I actually did have some family in Australia.
Wow.
Yeah. So they ended up like picking us up from the airport, you know, like, and my mom had like a weird like work friend. He wasn't weird. He was a very nice guy, but weird connection. Like,
sure.
And a work friend that he actually picked us up in Sydney and was like leaving. We stayed at his flat for like a week and then went down to Melbourne.
Living the life.
Living a life. Yeah. It was like, it wasn't like a culture shock because, you know, they're speaking English and it's seemingly the same, but like you also have like bugs and birds that you've never seen in your life. And these like possums that look like, like the just these like tree animals. You're like, what, where am I?
Wow. How long do you last there? And do you feel like you're getting success, practice, funnier, a set together?
Yeah. I was there for a year.
Oh, you were there for a year.
Yeah, we were on a working visa.
Okay,
yeah.
So you only could be there for a year.
Yeah, could only be there for a year. And then I felt like and at that time too, I think I was getting a little bit of a head, like a little ego, just a sense of like, I feel like I need to be somewhere else. Like, which was not, looking back, I'm like, I was not even really, I was doing improv. Like, I was like,
You're like, I'm bigger than this.
Yeah. Well, I was just like, I'm ready to go
big.
But I felt like I was getting good because I was having to like navigate culture and people who I just, when you make connections that are like not in your country, you just feel like a rock star because you're
100%.
Wait, how was I able to like communicate something that they have no idea what I'm referring to.
Right.
Because it's just like so American. Mm. But you're like that. It just felt more successful in that sense.
I'm always fascinated with how you're paying for things. Yeah. So you're bartending.
Yeah. Which is like a living there.
No.
Yeah.
Way.
I mean, they paid us like, it was like $30 an hour.
Plus tips?
Yeah. 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 I didn't work for like 2 months and like went to like ran around like Brisbane. God. Like it was like not, they're not treating people like they are here.
At any point are you like, I need to like find myself a husband, settle down, have kids, a picket fence? It's not even.
Oh, it's just not.
Is it today?
No. No, no picket fence. That sounds scary to me. Okay. I mean, not scary. Okay. I would love a husband. If my husband's out there listening right now, please come get your
Hit
girl.
Her up.
But,
okay.
But to be.
Not a priority.
No, because I get really scared of, I think my biggest fear is like feeling stuck.
Uh-huh.
I think that like, so if there's somebody who wants to fly with me and like grow, you know, it's that, but the fence freaks me out.
Got it.
I'm like,
because it's a barrier.
Run. Yeah. It's like a literal barrier.
Yes.
Like it's, that's why for me, I'm like, I see myself being with somebody who's also maybe this is like also I don't know this to be true in my head. This sounds idealistic, but like somebody who's also a creative, and is making things and like would be a good collaborator and
partner.
Yeah,
creative partner
who knows the like. There's not a lot of like men or people out there, men particularly, that like, you know, I'm out late at clubs and doing comedy and like that. You have to be so solid in yourself to be able to
plus
handle
it's
that.
Not a huge female population. It's more male dominant.
Oh yeah, especially around here. I'm like
an anomaly.
I'm
big time.
Not big time, but like for paid shows, it's like I'm the only girl most of the time.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Okay, so where are we now and where are we going? Australia, the visa's up.
Mm-hmm.
You've felt good there. You've supported yourself. You've explored. You've had adventures. And you've gotten a lot of experience.
Yeah.
And now we're going to come back home.
Yeah.
And where are we going to?
We come back home. We go to a wedding in Philadelphia. We sit at a table. And the question gets asked to me, that same question is, so where do you want to go?
What's so annoying.
What's up next? And I was like, well, I mean, I feel like LA is the only
logical spot.
Right. I'm like, that's where you got to go. And this old. old lady about two seats down.
You were gonna be polite.
I was gonna be polite, but she was actually now she's like 87 now, so I think then she was like 82.
Okay.
Just pops her head on. She was like, I live there. And I was like, that's cool. And then she said, you can come live with me.
Unreal.
And I said, right on, let's do it.
No way.
So I just moved to Santa Monica and
you got her a number.
Yeah. Yep.
Communicated with her, packed your stuff up, moved there to Santa Monica.
Mm-hmm.
And you paid rent in like a little house, like a casita in her backyard.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what's going on in LA? Are we successful? Are we going out on auditions, open mics? What's happening?
That was exactly. I was like, you know what? I'm going to move to LA. I'm going to work at a little juice shop. I'm going to go on auditions. And that's exactly what I did when I got there. I was like, hot off the bat, I was like, went and got my headshots, signed up for an acting school class, did that, did on camera work, signed up for like West Side Comedy, I think.
Okay.
It was in Santa Monica. Did an improv class there, hated it. I was the only girl, it was all white dudes.
Weird.
Yeah. And that's what I said. I was like, this is not good. I don't like this.
So, not a UCB, not a Second City, totally different dynamic.
Yeah. Different, yeah, just, it was, you could tell, I was like, oh, I'm in LA.
Wow.
This is, people were doing it because their agents told them they needed to, like,
get their chops up a little
bit. Yeah,
okay.
They needed to get some skill. And I was like, oh, this isn't as fun.
Yeah.
You know, like, I would walk, I remember, like, doing an improv scene, and I would walk in, like, clearly making a decision that, like, yo, what's up, I'm your dad. And then, like, they would be like, no, you're my mom, because you're a girl.
Okay.
I'd be like, no, you're not. You're not getting the game.
Yeah.
This is a game. I'm your father.
Like, okay. They couldn't yes and a woman.
No.
Okay.
They couldn't like see past the, I was like, this sucks. So I kind of stopped.
Yeah.
Then.
And so how are we making money? The juice bar.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. I was at, I don't even remember the name. Press Juicery, I think it was.
Okay.
Yeah.
You called yourself and other people in LA, many people, mm-hmm. slashers.
Yes.
Which means?
Which means you were, which is what I would pretty much identify myself now, since then and now, is like, so I would be like doing comedy slash teaching yoga slash doing dance slash
juice presser.
Juice press slash... slash like nanny slash I was helping a doula at one point slash like
my god,
okay. Whatever I could get my hands on, wherever I could pull money out of a bag, I was there.
Okay, so the first successful gig outside of the press juice in LA, what is it?
Oh, that's a good question. I think I got like an independent film.
Okay.
I did a few music videos.
Wow.
And that thing about LA was like, I remember doing all these projects and then I would like see nothing.
Oh, interesting.
So it was like
coming to fruition.
Yeah.
Is much different.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it was like doing it, doing the auditions. That was so crazy. That was just like, I would travel for like 2 hours in traffic and then go into somewhere and it'd be a 30-second thing. And then I'd be like, well, that was my whole day.
That's a nightmare.
It was a nightmare.
Did you have a car out there?
Yeah. Oh, you have to survive.
So you're in traffic. Much. You're getting there. And this is what they call like the room of folding chairs. Like there's 100 people like you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're waiting for 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And then you're waiting to get a call.
Yeah.
And the call might never come.
Yeah.
Or if you do something, you get hired, you might never see it come to actual.
Exactly.
I do not understand how you keep your confidence and hopes and dreams alive when it's just disappointment after disappointment.
Yeah, most people don't. They're smart and they...
And that's the difference maybe between being successful and seeing it through.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, I don't know. It defines what you define success, I guess.
Well, you're still enjoying it. I think that would be the success. If you're still enjoying that chase.
Yeah. Well, now I'm not in that place anymore. You know, now I'm in a place where I'm in control. And I think that's the power of stand-up is like... You don't need anybody to give you the, I mean, you do for shows, you got to get hired, but
right.
To start off, it's like, no, you just go.
Yeah.
It's you're more in control. Self,
yeah. Okay. So yoga.
Yeah.
You find yoga.
Yeah. Yeah.
When and where does that tool come up?
That came up when Trump got elected as president.
You needed to.
Yeah. I needed something. It was right down the street. I for sure was like grappling with like depression and things of just that, of I don't know. I was like 24, all the things.
Yeah.
I would be getting sober soon and probably a year after I'd found yoga. I needed a community. I needed somewhere to move my body. I wasn't dancing. And it was very familiar to me. The second I walked in, it was like, oh, hardwood floors. Everyone's sweating. Someone's yelling at me. Love it. Great. Like someone's looking at me. Someone's watching me. Like I felt so young and I had these teachers who are still my role models and mentors today,
wow.
who are these women who just took me under their wing and was like, these were like my new mom, sisters.
Yeah, sure, sure.
Like
healing, helpful, soothing, calming.
Yeah, had my back emotionally, physically, spiritually, all the things.
So you took yoga classes and then shortly after you decided to become a yogi?
Yeah, I took yoga classes and then was like, had these two separate teachers were like, you need to take my training.
Wow.
And luckily got scholarships for both of those.
Okay. Okay. That was going to be my next question.
Yeah.
How'd you pay for it?
So yeah.
Then you became addicted to it.
Addicted. Yeah.
And had like hundreds of hours under your belt.
700 hours of yoga certification.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then you start teaching.
Yeah. I was about to teach at Yoga Works in Santa Monica. I was working at the studio and then it was like, you had to audition to be a teacher. And I think it was March. It was literally like I auditioned and then the world shut down.
Mm. Now, the whole time you're doing the yoga, you're also auditioning for things.
Yeah.
Still making connections, working in that theatrical space.
Yes. Doing that. And also I was bartending at a place in West Hollywood called Ago,
okay.
which doesn't exist anymore. But it was like Robert De Niro's Italian restaurant.
Way.
It was run by the mafia, pretty much. I mean, don't quote me on that, but like quote me on that. Yeah. And I was not good at bartending still I tried every time. And this was like a high end restaurant that people would order these, like they would say, you know, can I have a Manhattan or whatever the drink
or
is.
Or a martini.
I would literally Google on my phone, what is
Manhattan? Oh, hell no.
And I was like, these people were paying.
These are high-end places. They want a good drink.
Yes. But like, it has brought me to success before. I just bullshitted my way through it and was like, here you go.
Did you meet Robert De Niro?
I did not meet Robert De Niro. I used to like joke and be like, yeah, he comes every day and gives me a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Most famous person you met?
There was a lot of like, well, I don't know what list they are. Simon Cowell was like a regular.
Wow.
There. Okay. The whole like American Idol cast was there. They used to have like a party there. Tobey Maguire, the old Spider-Man, would get takeout.
That's a big one.
That was a big one. Sharon Osbourne, she was probably the dopest.
So
she was
funny.
She came. She was great. Eva Longoria. She was good.
That's a big one. Anyone who was a jerk? Do you remember anyone being jerky?
Ooh, I don't remember.
That's good.
Buddy being a jerk. I really don't. The jerks were like, they would have like princes from like Saudi Arabia that would like, or like people who were like, they would stay until like 3 o'clock in the morning, and I would be like, I have to go. I have yoga. I have to go. I am going to cry. You can't like kick them out. I would cry. I just would start crying and they would be like, Bella, just Bella, we got it. You just go.
Oh my God. Okay. Okay. So the world shuts down.
Yeah.
And are you still living with the older woman?
Yes.
And you felt the weight of the world in terms of keeping her safe.
Yeah. It was horrifying.
Okay. Because you felt like.
I mean, this was the time when we were Windexing packages.
Wiping our groceries. Yeah,
this was peak. The only thing we knew that the old people were dying.
So you are going out teaching yoga, doing these things in the public, then coming home and fearing killing her.
Well, I wasn't doing those things anymore because everything shut down. Like all of the yoga studio shut down, comedy shut down.
Okay.
So all of the things that were in person, it wasn't even an option for me to go.
But you still felt that pressure.
Yeah. Well, just like going to the grocery store. I mean, going to the grocery store or going to... I remember like going on long, long walks, like walks for like 7 hours, just of like, what do I do? You know? And like friends who wanted to like maybe walk with me, and I'd be terrified. I'm like, I feel so guilty. Even if I wasn't like scared, there was like a guilt behind there.
Yeah.
And it just was.
Well, yeah. If she got sick and it was your fault.
Oh my God.
You'd have to live with that.
Yeah.
Did she put pressure on you?
She didn't, but it was like. Oh, it was kind of unsaid. Like it was like, cause I'm like, I'm not going to scare, you know what I mean? I'm just like,
yeah.
Yeah. So that was, yeah.
You mentioned the sobriety is coming or just came.
Yeah.
And you're newly sober.
Yeah.
Okay. Where was that decision and why did you make that decision?
I made that decision I think it was like right after my 25th birthday.
You're coming up on 7 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And for me, I just was not good at it. We had said this earlier. I'm candid about it, but like, it was that realization where I was like, "Oh, you guys aren't blacking out. This is oh shit. I'm not good at it. I can't. This is not the thing for me.
Right.
I'm just like that person. Once I have a sensation that I like, it's like let's just keep that going.
Try to chase that.
Again. Let's keep that running and. I'm a writer. I write down everything. I write down my day every day. Like I like to document my life. And that was so sad to me that I would have these moments that like I knew were good and fun at a certain mark. And then I had no recollection of it. It was like heartbreaking. I was like, I don't like this.
Did your friends ever say, Rachel, you're drinking too much or you drank too much or anyone? It was all self-inflicted.
Yeah. It wasn't. Yeah. Because at that point I was like, you find the community who like, you know, they reflect it back to you. So you're like, I'm fine, right? You guys.
We're all having fun here. We're all young.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was a decision you came to on your own.
Yeah.
Did you tell your parents about that decision?
Yeah.
What'd they say about that?
They didn't like it at first.
Really?
Well, it just kind of was like, I think there just was, it was kind of like, oh, I think as a parent, maybe they had like taken it personally, which was a strange I think now they wouldn't see that, but I think back then maybe they had like, I don't know, taken ownership of it in some weird way of like, did they fuck up? And it was like, no, this was me. This is my issue. And it's kind of like a little bit denied at first where it was like, you're not an addict. And I was like, no, I'm pretty sure I am.
Yeah,
pretty sure.
Sometimes it's more comfortable for people if they're, you know, if everyone's still doing it. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. And it was that too. It was kind of like, that still happens to me today. It doesn't like affect me at all, but it's interesting people's reactions to it. Because I'm always 100%. Like,
100%.
Are you okay?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Is it this or is it something else?
Yeah.
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 I don't drink. I didn't have a rock bottom. I wasn't chugging vodka in the morning, but I just decided that it no longer served me. Yeah. Right. It didn't make me feel good anymore.
Yeah.
And it sounds like that is a similar situation for you. And it sounds like it would only get in your way.
Yes.
Yeah. Of what your ultimate goals were. Yeah.
I just don't like feeling like shit.
Same.
I just don't. It's not worth it to me anymore. 100%. Like, I just can't risk like waking up in the morning and not feeling
good and sharp.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if I'm going to be pursuing a career that's stupid, I can't do stupid things also. Yeah. That's how I see it, at least. Yeah, like,
I understand what you're saying.
You know?
Yeah. If I'm going to be goofy on stage,
then I got to be serious as hell. in my like out of life, you know?
So, okay, I completely get what you're saying. You told me the story about the yoga and the $500 check.
Yeah.
I don't want to skip over that.
Yeah.
So you're doing yoga and it seems like you got real absorbed into that.
Oh, totally.
It was becoming your life.
Yeah.
And maybe were you losing focus on what you were there for?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I definitely shifted and was like, and that's what happens to me when I dig holes deep. Mm. Whatever thing I get into, I start to really, now I'm at a point where I'm like, I've got a lot of deep holes around me, so I can kind of like go in and out of them.
Yeah.
But in my 20s, it was like, if I have an interest, I'm going to dig and dig and dig and dig into that interest.
Okay. And that's what was happening with yoga.
Yeah.
Until you got a client who kind of put it back in perspective.
Yeah. He just saw me in a different light and was like, kind of just like, we just had a good rapport and I was goofy and he was like, there's something different about you, you know, like what are you, like, kind of asked me like what was I here for, and I was like, you know, I really came here for comedy and wanted to do comedy, and comedy's like been kind of my North Star, and I had taken a break and I was like, mm-hmm. It just wasn't in a spot where I felt like it was important enough, and I just yoga had like, you know, it gave me that like purpose and it was more deep and it was, I don't know, there was something,
it's what you needed.
Yeah, totally. At
that period of time.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. But this man, Sam Cass, who was a writer for Seinfeld and a playwright, and he's still like one of my writing mentors to this day.
Oh my gosh.
He just was like, you know what, this is bullshit. He's like, this is not good.
Right.
Not that it wasn't good, but just wasn't. He just saw the potential. And the next day he came at me with a $500 check and said, you need to go to UCB. He said, I don't want to hear it. And I just took it and was like, okay.
He was giving you that as, there's no excuse.
Yep. Yeah.
I'm eliminating an excuse. Yep. Take this and go.
Yeah. Because I think that was it for me, too. It was like, I don't want to pay for more. Like, this is crazy. This is not, like, it's just, things are so expensive. It's so, you know, whatever. Yeah. I just was getting beat down by that.
And right.
He was like, you know, gave me that out.
And so did that right your ship again?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it gave me, I mean, I'm somebody who, like, if somebody tells me they believe in me, it's done. You know what I mean? That'll push me enough.
I love it. Okay. So UCB in LA.
Yeah.
Second City in Chicago.
Yeah.
And then this, the bad one in LA.
Yeah.
Where the, okay.
They're great, but like it just wasn't
for you.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So now we are back in the comedy scene in LA.
Yeah.
The pandemic has hit.
The pandemic hit right when I was like, just like, this is, I'm back.
Oh, shit.
I'm back. Like, I was like, I had my whole life planned. I was like, this is going to be great. This is going to be so good. I could see it so clear.
Oh, damn.
I think so many people could. Like, it just was like, I was even like at, I had just auditioned for Groundlings, which was another place in LA.
Yeah.
For like character things. And it was like the week before I had just done that and like gotten the in for like, oh, you can start at like whatever group A is. And then it was March 2020 and it shut down.
And so finally you kind of can't take it anymore and you move back home.
Yeah. So it was May 2020. And I was like, this is not going to just blow over.
Right. So you come back here to kind of get coddled a little bit.
Yeah, totally.
Get organized, come up with a plan. And what do you do here?
I go away from improv comedy, which was like the heart of like where I started, and was like, okay, I'm going to gear myself towards writing and did the sketch writing program at UCB.
Okay.
Which was all through Zoom, which was awesome. And I loved writing. I wasn't confident in it at first. I was terrified, which made me know that I needed to do it.
Right.
I just was like, I'm so scared to write sketches. And it's like SNL style sketches.
Okay.
And the way they set the class up is how you would be at SNL too. So it's like, you have a week to write a sketch. We're going to like have, you know, a meeting. Everyone shares, you rewrite it, come back. Mm. We do it, we perform it. And then we had like Zoom performances. And
how does a Zoom performance work?
It was
hard.
Yeah. Ugh. It wasn't the greatest, but they did their best. You know, yeah. That was like in the real, like it were back in the day before it would be on stage and they okay. would like have it. So they just kind of like did their our best with like backgrounds and we all got green screens and
wow,
you know, hired actors. I mean, they still do the whole thing. Wow. So it's still like great.
And what was the feedback for your writing?
Well, they give you grades. And I got A's on all my... That was, really? And that's what pushed me, too, was like, whenever someone is like, you're good at this, like, keep going.
Yeah, then you then keep
I'll
going.
Keep going.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
What if someone said you weren't good enough at it? Would you still keep going?
That's a good question. That I
probably... I don't think you would quit. I think you would keep going. You seem to have that drive.
Yeah, I probably would. Yeah. Well, I guess it would depend on who... Or I would, like, yeah. probably be like... Your opinion's not worth it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I'm just like, it totally depends on who it's coming from.
Okay. Now, are we in this, the genre of your life where you're going to start focusing in on stand-up?
Yeah. We're like right on the crest of it. It's like, that's where I meet these other writers in my group. And I'm like writing a bunch of sketches and then also submitting to late night comedy shows. So Jimmy Fallon, Stephen Colbert, that whole process is a madhouse. That's just
okay. What insanity. Does that look like?
It is crazy. You get like 48, if that, sometimes 48 to 24 hours.
Okay.
The submission will go out, which you kind of like have to have an in anyways to get that submission. And then you have that amount of time because it has to be daily news. So they'll be like, okay, write 20 monologue jokes, which are like one liners that they'll say in a monologue. But that has to be from today's news or yesterday's news.
Wow, which is the timing element.
Yeah, yeah. Which is why they like needs to be submitted within, you know, 24 hours. And so it's like, how do you work with like, how do you, and these packets are like 6 pages. They're not just this tiny little like job application.
And is the hope that they choose your stuff?
Yeah.
Or you just get feedback on it?
You get hired. As a writer.
Okay. So it's like doing a job application over and over and over. Kind yeah. of? Oh my God.
Yeah.
Okay. But that fuels you wanting to do stand up.
Yeah. I had and it was the same thing. I had a friend in the class that had been doing stand up for about 10 years. And she was like, have you done stand up? You need to do stand up. You'd be really good at stand up.
Mm.
And I was like, I don't know. I don't know if I'm a stand up kind of girl.
Yeah. What scared you about stand up?
I think that it was a solo act. I think I was so used to like being in groups and working with people. I loved working with people. So it was like, oh, this is like just me.
Yeah.
Just me.
All on you.
Yeah.
But you love it.
Now I love it.
Love it.
Now I love having the control and knowing who I am.
Yeah.
And like getting it, which took work and I'm still growing from that place.
How much of a set do you have in place? Do you have like a... You know, they say a tight 10. Like, do you have like an hour long set that you get up, you could get up and perform?
Yeah, at least an hour.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you said you incorporate your family into
it. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Because you kind of have a diverse, wild family a little bit.
Yeah.
And you can share whatever you want to share about that. But how did you ask their permission? Did you ask their permission to use them for content?
Yeah. Well, I didn't start off with my family at first. And I have jokes that are like family. I have jokes that are from the news. I have jokes from my own life. Like I mostly pull from my own life, but my family is in my life.
Yes.
So they get to come too. But a lot of times I'm the butt of the joke. You know what I mean? So like
they set you up.
Yeah. Like, okay. I'll make my sister look really good. And then it's like, I look silly. You know, it's like that kind of thing.
Yes.
Yeah. Like I've said to you, like because I'm doing so many shows around the area, I'm still pretty protective of them. So I'm respectful. Not that I don't see myself as being like, I don't know. I don't see myself like going down too hard on them in a way that they would not be. I think
I find it funny.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But yeah, there's definitely some things that I don't have yet to share.
Because they are all local.
Yeah.
You feel like you can't be as open maybe as you would if you were in LA and no one knows who they are.
Yeah.
And it's a little more free.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah. You said like for Allie, if she's in anything, you throw the jokes back to her and see what she thinks.
Yeah. And this is a joke that I use. I'm like, I currently live with my sister and her wife. I call us the sister wives. You know, like it's like that kind of thing. And then we'll talk. I talk about like IVF and that process of like, you know, it was really expensive for them to get vials of something that I just have to wipe off.
Oh my God.
It's like that kind of stuff.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, it's
and your dad is also listening.
And my dad is there. I'm warning him. I'm like, man, he's okay with
he's
it.
He's cool. He's open.
Yeah. Like I said before, which I think is a good thing. I think I'm very grateful for that. I would think it's so much weirder if he was like uncomfortable with the fact that I'm like a full human.
Because you're 31-year-old.
Exactly.
Woman.
Exactly. And he respects that and sees that and it's laughable. And like I said, the way I deliver things is I kind of get away with it. Like,
yeah.
I get away with what is on paper pretty raunchy.
Uh-huh.
But the way I deliver it is like, it's the truth. Like,
yes.
It's just like sticky.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I love it. Okay. In town, what are you doing? Where can we see you? Where can we find you? And then give like Instagram.
Yeah.
Oh my God. The art.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
Another tool.
Yeah.
In your toolbox.
Yeah.
This is just, you're fascinating. Okay. You're ambidextrous.
Uh-huh.
And you discovered this medium of art
uh-huh.
that you are really good at.
Thank
it
you.
It sounds.
Yeah.
And tell me about that.
So I make art with both of my hands.
That's so crazy.
It's so dumb and fun and cool. And I have like, I do it in like one take because I have to, because it's just one line. And you can check it out on my Instagram. It's Rach M. Lindy, where I'll also post like some stand-up clips. I need to get better at that. I will get better at that. Some dance clips. You'll get dance, you'll get art, you'll get comedy.
L-I-N-D-E.
L-I-N-D-Y.
Okay,
actually.
Tricky.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, L-I-N-D-Y. Rach M. Lindy.
Okay.
So yeah, I'll make art. If anybody wants to commission some art, you got it. I'll do it for you.
You take one large white piece of paper or a canvas?
So sometimes I'll usually paint the canvas before too. So like I'll do whatever colors you want. That's usually what people will like want if they want a color scheme or if they have like a background in mind. And then I'll kind of like just assess what I think is their vibe and kind of like make a little painting out. Yeah, it's fun. It's cool. It's
at the same time you're doing a mirror image with both hands on a canvas.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And how did you discover that this was like a thing that you were good at that you could do?
I don't know. I just started doing it on a piece of paper. Doing it on a piece of paper. And then I was like, I feel like I could put this on a canvas. And then I just set up a camera and
it's, boom.
Boom. Yeah. And it's fun because it gives me like, I'm somebody who needs multiple forms of validation, it seems. Like,
I love
I'm just
it.
Like, you know, if it's not stand up, if I'm not, you know, if it's that's not flowing sometimes, because it's that's not, you know, you're on the up one week, you're on the down the next week.
Yes.
So to have multiple mediums is helpful.
You said that you kind of treat your writing like a desk job.
Yeah, totally.
So you force yourself to sit down.
Yeah.
Certain periods a day or when it.
Oh, every morning. Yeah.
Every morning.
Yeah.
Do you have notebooks or is it electronic?
I have everything. I carry a notebook. I have my computer is where all my like, sets are, but I carry like a notebook for like observations. I have notes in my phone. It's everywhere. It's literally where I can just, because I don't know when it's going to drop down, when something's going to like pop into my head.
So you force yourself to work and move forward.
Yeah. I'm a practice person. Like we started like from the top, like from the first thing we talked about, it was like, I'm very much like, if you put the work in, if you practice, it's inevitable.
Yes.
That something's going to come.
100%.
No matter if you can't see it or not. Like, it's just, I'm always trying to be ready.
Yes.
And have more and just, and because I want to grow. I want to get better and I want to have like, I feel like I'm growing as a person. And so my comedy has to go with that.
Yeah. Well, you're extremely talented.
Thank you.
Multi-talented. Okay. So where can we see you locally?
So we do. It's super fun. You guys, everyone should come out. This one is once a month. We just had one last Tuesday. But it's broad comedy. Okay. So it's like women, non-binary, queer. It's very like safe, positive. It's at the Rose Bowl Tavern. It's so fun. We just had one this last Tuesday. It's a blast. It's great.
Is it a certain Tuesday of the month?
It's usually like the third Tuesday. Like this is, I guess this was the last Tuesday. It's usually like on the end of the month.
Okay.
But
I'm sure it's on the Rose Bowl's website.
Yeah, totally. Okay. And they have their own Instagram too. It's CU Broad Comedy. And then I'm on the shows typically all on my own Instagram. I'll always put a link to whatever I'm on. But CU Comedy is also one that's around town. That's a great one to check out. I'm typically on some of their shows. And then Yellow and Company, which is what I've got coming up. I'm headlining my first show. April 13th.
So this is your first headlining show.
This is my first time being the boss.
Oh my God. Okay. April 13th, 7:30 p.m. Saturday.
Yeah.
Purchase tickets at yellowandcoevents.com.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
And this is in Mahomet.
Yes.
And you said this, it's really cute, like boutique-y venue.
Yeah. So they have a boutique on the side and then the event space is on the other side. But they're expanding. I think May 1st is when they're opening up their new building. So I don't know how much longer they're going to be there. I think the boutique will probably stay. I'll have to ask them, but it's totally worth it to make a trip out there. It's
Do you know how much tickets are?
$15.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's all women too.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
It's Mom's Weekend, U of I.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. So it's a perfect.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm coming to this.
Hell yeah. Show. You have to.
For sure.
Yeah.
Okay, anything else?
That
I feel like we covered.
Yeah, we covered. Oh, I also have one more mic to throw out. Yes. It's a new one. We just started it last Thursday. So this one's every Thursday. It's an open mic. So if you are interested in doing comedy around here and you want to get your feet wet and you want to just have a community of people or just see, this is totally for free. It's at The Space.
Oh, yeah. We just downtown. Ate there.
Isn't
a couple
it
weeks
so
it's really
good.
Cool. Really
it's
cool.
So cool.
Yeah. They have a little stage. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And we just started a mic there. So it's every Thursday except for like the third Thursday of the month.
Okay.
You can come watch for free, get some good food or sign up. It's from 7 to 9 PM. And yeah, that's really exciting because that's what we needed. We need like a more open mics because that's the place where you get good. You practice. It's all about repetition. And it's...
And you go in there and you put your name on a list.
You sign up beforehand.
Okay.
Yeah.
How many people are signing up? Do you know?
Typically, we got about like 15.
That's a lot.
Yeah. I mean, we got a community. We have... It's here. People are here and they're hungry for it. They're like...
How much time do you get then?
5 minutes.
Oh my.
Tight five. That's what your typical open mic is, a tight five.
5 minutes.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like a lot of time. I'm sure when you're up there, it feels like forever.
If you're new, for sure. It feels like a lifetime. If you don't have anything prepared and you're just like, I think I'm a funny person, then you're going to die. But
I'm going to make my husband do that.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. I'll come there. I'll support him.
We can
write out a set beforehand. He can have his bullet points. Yeah. And there's no rules for an open mic. Like you can go up with your phone. You can go up. I mean, there's no rules ever. That's like
the beauty of it.
The beauty. Yeah. People think there are rules, but there aren't.
Okay. Well, it was like such a pleasure to meet you.
Yeah. This was awesome.
Now, okay. You said 5 minutes can feel like forever. How long do you think we've been going right now?
Oh, I feel like we've caught a flow. So I've lost it. I don't know.
Hour five.
We're on hour.
1 hour and 5 minutes.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's great.
Yeah, that's good. Very good. But yeah, it's flown. And I cannot wait to look at your art on Instagram.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Rachel, thank you so much.
No, thank you, Emily.
And I'm going to come see you, okay? So everyone, please, yellowandcoevents.com and check her out on Instagram for all of her happenings. And that's at Rach, M-L-I-N-D-Y.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening. However your podcast host of choice allows, please positively rate, review, comment, and give all the stars. Don't forget to follow, subscribe, share, and ring that notification bell so you know when the next episode drops. Also, search and follow Hyperlocal CU on all social media. If I forgot anything or you need me, visit my website at hyperlocalcu.com. Bye!